Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you want to meet myself and Ollie Davis of Wrestle Ramble fame? Well, you can do just that by joining us at Wrestling Media Con on September 8th and 9th from the Bowlers Exhibition Centre in Manchester, England. Ollie and I will be doing a live episode of Wrestle Ramble as well as signings and photos, but that's not all. Wrestling Media Con will have shows from Cultaholic, Inside the Ropes, Wrestling with Regret, Don Callis, Botchamania, Art of Wrestling, Sean Waltman, and more. There will also be the first ever Wrestling Media Hall of Fame and wrestling shows from Impact Wrestling, where they will be taking on the best the UK has to offer, and Revolution Pro Wrestling featuring the legendary Jushin Thunder Liger defending his British J Cup crown. Tickets are on sale now, so head over to WrestlingMediaCon.com. That's WrestlingMediaCon.com.
Support WrestleTalk.
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm excited, Luke. Because
why are you excited?
In 2 hours exactly, we will be in a little screening room in central London, a secret location.
Ooh.
And we will be shown the first episode of WOS Wrestling.
This is ITV's relaunch of the World of Sports show that they did, now rebranded as WOS Wrestling.
Which is hard to say if you say it quickly.
Which you discovered.
WOS.
Yes.
So the trick is, focus on the W. WOS.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Right, no, I
and
like
the,
that.
And then the OS falls in place afterwards.
Yeah, rather than trying to like WOS.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
WOS.
Yeah.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
So we're going to a screening of the first episode of that. I really enjoyed the original relaunch that they did.
The pilot episode
in New Year's Day? Was it New Year's Eve or New Year's Day?
It was New Year's Eve, 2016.
I couldn't remember because I remember I recorded it so I could watch it the day after whichever one I thought it was. And I thought it was really good. And like the lineup they've got, the roster they've got, is really great.
Mr. Will Ospreay.
I was going to say, you've got Ospreay in there, Joe Hendry of this parish. We've also got people like Rampage and Nathan Cruz.
Rampage is great.
Rampage is great.
I feel like Rampage doesn't have the kind of exposure that he deserves. So I really hope that everyone, like, you know, American viewers or fans of this show who will check out WOS, they'll get to become more familiar with Rampage, and he's just such a good worker.
And got Davey Boy Jr. on there, and our boy that we were praising on the Patreon podcast, Doug Williams.
Oh, yes.
A real...
Big Doug.
I always want to say stalwart, but I can never really say that word right. I actually try to say it on this show.
He is so important to British wrestling. Like he was one of those guys that all the like the Ospreys and the Skulls and the Sabre Juniors now... Like, they would have been watching Doug Williams at little indie shows when the British wrestling scene wasn't
dead.
The same size as it was now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah, dead's a harsh word.
But yeah, because you still had, like, the FWA and
exactly,
stuff.
Exactly, yeah. It was alive, but it wasn't at, like, the level that it is now.
No.
Like,
no,
I suppose, in comparison. Yeah. Mm. Like, now at the moment, you know, it's goodbye now. But that's because of people like Doug Williams. And
paving the way.
Yeah, Jody Fleisch and Johnny Storm.
Fleisch, yeah.
Essentially, I feel like we're repeating ourselves from our Patreon podcast. But can I use that as a segue?
Go on, then.
Plug the Patreon podcast. If you want to hear me and Ollie talk about TNA Destination 2011...
It's Destination X.
What did I just say? Destination?
Just Destination 2011.
We talk about Destination X as well on the podcast 2011, featuring AJ Styles versus Christopher Daniels in the main events. But don't give away all the views. Rob Van Dam and Sabu.
No. Rob Van Dam and Jerry Lynn.
Okay.
Show are you talking about? That was a good match.
That was a good match, yeah. Why did I think Sabu? No, you're right.
Because you said Rob Van Dam. That's... Usually Sabu just follows.
But I wanted to use that as a segue to plug the Wrestle Ramble extra poll being open for Patreon backers. You want to become a pledge hammer, you can vote in the poll for what episode we're going to do next, and $5 backers will get that episode in the middle of next month. But I thought it'd be interesting to you, because currently... there is 2% in it.
No, at the top. Because the top. A lot of SummerSlams, I love a lot of SummerSlams, but one in particular.
There are four SummerSlams on offer, 92, 2000, 2002, and 2010.
What? And 2010 was the Nexus show. Yeah. Of course, 92 was the one from Wembley Arena.
Indeed.
In the UK. 2000 is my favourite pay-per-view of all time, you know, from my youth.
Yep.
And... 02 is the fantastic Shawn Michaels return match against Triple H.
And Brock v. Rock.
Mm. That HBK match is good.
It is good. But I can tell you, I just want to give you a
quick update.
Because there is 2% in it at the top of this.
Tell me who's leading first.
SummerSlam 2000.
Yes! Get in!
At 34%, it is currently SummerSlam 2000 leading by 2%. Just 2% behind that, though, is SummerSlam 2010.
Oh, no, people want to hear us talk about bad stuff.
And going by a lot of the comments in this, bearing in mind as well, 2010 was suggested by Real Dan's Dan. Bless his heart.
Oh, no, and Dan.
There's a lot of comments that are just like, God, it'd be so funny to hear them talk about this. Because I've been like, I'm pushing this online. I've been pushing this. Like, it's Ollie's favourite pay-per-view of all time versus the pay-per-view that nearly made him quit watching wrestling.
Oh, God, right, it did.
So it's like, it's all built around you at the moment. You're like the forefront of this month's...
everything, Luke.
This month's Patreon podcast, it's all based around your personal feelings towards these pay-per-views.
And it's not like, oh, we'll do it the month after. That's not how this works. It has to be from the month of it happening, so I wouldn't be able to talk about SummerSlam 2000 until a year later.
Or 2010 until a year later. And that's only if it gets nominated again. It might not get nominated next year.
Okay. So, well, let's just see. It's in the SWAF Nation's hands. Yeah. We're, speaking of patron exclusive things, we're sort of gearing up for our top five matches of the month podcast, Ramble Club.
We certainly
which
are.
Which is, you know, it's difficult because... G1.
Yeah, pretty much. G1 has already had 2 5-star matches from Dave Meltzer. I think he's actually had more than that, but he's had 2 from one man in particular, that being Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega.
His match against Tetsuya Naito and Hirooki Goto.
Yeah.
That is also in the list. Also in the running, if you're updating your scorecards at home of what might be in the top 5 matches. Buddy Murphy versus Mustafa Ali from 205 Live. I'm not sure that's going to make the
cut. No, not in G1 month.
No, I was going to say, that's going to struggle to make the month. Annoyingly, I've made notes on that one. The Golden Lovers versus L.I.J. from the CEO... against New Japan show.
Okay, interesting.
Which apparently was awesome. Kenny Omega versus Cody from the G1 special in San Fran.
God, that was this month.
Yep.
Hangman Page and Juice Robinson.
No, Juice Robinson and Jay White.
Sorry, yes, yeah. And Juice Robinson, it was the three-way. It was Juice Robinson versus Jay White versus Josh Barnett, wasn't it?
Yes, that's the one.
You done effed up, boy.
Rich Swann versus Phoenix from Impact Wrestling.
It's not going to make it. But I think Callahan, Pentagon... I'm really pushing for that to go in.
Yes. Oh, absolutely, yeah, from Slammiversary. Mustache Mountain versus Undisputed Era, a 5-star rated match from Dave Meltzer from NXT TV.
I think that'll feature.
And the 2 Kenny Omega matches. But that's not even including, like, possibly Okada matches in there as well.
Yeah,
so much stuff from the G1, really.
I've heard Okada Page is incredible, like a star-making performance for Page, and I love Page.
You mean like Almas and AJ last week?
Yeah, that kind of star-making. Shut up! People can send in stuff that we should watch, we will pick it.
Jeremy, whose surname we struggle to pronounce, who always sends us in stuff from like Sendai and Stardom.
He's the most hipster of our fans.
He has sent in some more Ramble Club suggestions.
Oh, yeah?
Let me just bring up his email, actually. because he sent me an email today saying that Momo Watanabe versus Hazuki is the Stardom match to watch out for July. You'll have to watch that on Stardom World. And he said next month on August 12th is Mayu Iwatani versus Kegetsu. Which is on August 12th, and that's going to be an absolute banger, apparently.
These syllables sound great.
Also, I meant to mention this earlier. Have you seen that Miko Satomura is coming over for Eve?
Yes.
In September.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we should go to that.
Those Eve shows are always very good, apparently.
Absolutely. But I really want to see Miko Satomura.
You know who was at the Eve show last September?
Who was at the...
Kate Nash.
Yes, she was for Glow. That's right. She shot an angle with them.
Glow.
That is my wife's favourite thing to do whenever watching Glow, is to go, Glow, Glow. Because she's like a little mini Kate Nash.
Yeah.
Beautiful, that I mean. Well, we haven't really got time to dive into. Actually, no, I am going to dive into some correspondence before we get into the show itself. First up, we got this from Brock Batty, who just sent an email saying, Luke was right. I always like those sorts of emails.
I wonder how this one made it in.
Hi, Luke and Ollie. I just wanted to settle a disagreement you guys had probably a few weeks back. By now, I'm a little behind on the rambles about how you pronounce Melbourne. Luke was 100% right. It is Melbourne.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that. I was just ribbing.
Yep. I'm currently in the middle of planning/paying for a huge trip to America at the end of the year, start of next year, where I will hopefully get to go to the Royal Rumble, but I plan to become a pledgehammer once I get back. Keep up the slightly above consistent work and being the best wrestling podcast around. Aww. Shut the hell up, Luke. You guys are better than Bruce. And thank you for reigniting my love for WWE. Please bring back the spoons. Love from Down Under,
okay.
Brock.
I haven't got my laptop with me.
No.
Can you make a note for spoons on Saturday?
Yeah, we'll do some spoon chat on Saturday.
We'll spoon each other.
Absolutely. Oh, I bloody love a spoon. Are you a big or little spoon?
I start off as the big spoon, and then I roll over because I get quite heavy. When I go dead weight, you don't want to be underneath.
Absolutely.
My head, in particular, apparently, is just too heavy. It just goes, ugh, and it, you know, really presses into the back of Anna's head, so...
I'm the same way, but my wife gets too hot, and she's like, you fall asleep so quickly, and my arm just like drapes over, and then she's pinned, and then she can't move.
One, two, three.
I did a bit of sleepwalking last night. I'll quickly tell you this story before we go. Because I was thinking, it was playing on my mind a lot this morning. So I woke up sort of in the middle of the night, in my dream world, in my sort of like altered reality of between sleep and between awake. I thought that a friend of ours, Tom, was in the living room, and he was waiting for my wife to cut his hair. And then she, I'd say, like a dick, just walked out of that room, walked into our bedroom, and got into bed and started going to sleep.
So I looked over
and I was like, and I started like shaking, and I was like kissing her back, and I was like, babe, you need to get up. Tom's waiting to get his hair cut. And she was like, what? I was like, Tom's waiting. He's outside. It's so rude that you've just come in here and tried to go to sleep. And she was like, no, it's okay. And I rolled over annoyed. I literally was like, I cannot believe you're doing this. And I rolled over annoyed. And I was talking about this one. She was like, I had to check if you were annoyed at me. Because I rolled over, I was like, are you okay? And you literally went, yeah, I'm fine.
Oh, wow.
And I woke up this morning going like, oh, I was annoyed at Kate last night because I thought she was meant to be cutting our friend's hair and she wasn't doing it.
Well, nice one, Dream Kate. I think that's Kate's fault.
I think so as well.
Yeah.
Right, anyway, let's get on with the show. We've got SmackDown to talk about, and it was... Well, it's a mixed show.
Where, last night, we got a segment that Paige set up. She announced it last week. She said she's going to reveal who AJ's next challenger is. There's no two triple threats where you have to win, and if you win, you face each other for the number one contender slot or a tournament thing. It's just... Paige, the general manager, the best general manager we've had in WWE for years. For a long, long time. She's so good in the role. And she...
What about Daniel Bryan?
Oh, yeah, he was good. Yeah, but he always had that Shane dynamic that kind of dragged him down. Paige is just like an unequivocal success for me.
There have been times, though, with Paige, and I like Paige, but there have been certain times with Paige where she has, like, a heel has come out and said, like, I want to do this, and Paige got... Well, I'm not giving you that. I'm just going to give you exactly what you asked for.
Yeah.
And it just makes us... And that's not her fault. That's the writing making her look like a doofus.
But it's still not a Shane McMahon.
It's better than Kurt Angle.
Yeah. So AJ comes out to this... Paige has got like a podium thing with a contract on it. And AJ's like, I can beat anyone. I'm phenomenal. are you going to get some? Isn't it that what he says usually? And then James Ellsworth comes out and interrupts. And I forgot this was even a thing. I thought this was a really nice, neat callback to the whole AJ Ellsworth
and Dean Ambrose
dynamic and feud. Because back then, Ellsworth was the baby face, if you can imagine such
a
thing.
And then he turned heel on AJ Styles.
Turned heel on...
Oh, no, turning on Dean Ambrose, because Dean Ambrose was the babyface, wasn't he? And AJ was the heel at that point. Oh, man, I forgot that little wrinkle to it,
So, yeah, James Ellsworth comes out and sort of does a comedy stoppage of Paige's big announcement. And that's when Paige is finally had... She's had enough of Ellsworth. The Asuka feud's over. Don't know why she couldn't have had enough of him maybe before the whole shark cage debacle. And she gets security to come out, and she says, "You're fired. I've got two words for you. You're out of here." And they literally carry him to the back and throw him through a door, and it cuts back to AJ. AJ's like, "That James Ellsworth." But then Samoa Joe attacks him from out of nowhere and chokes him. Samoa Joe and AJ Styles.
Absolutely. And on the Paige thing as well, when you called her a very good GM, she caught up with him backstage and was like, "Hey, I picked you because you're unpredictable." And Joe, and Joe's like, "What are you doing out there?" Joe's like, "Well, I'm being unpredictable. It's exactly why you picked me.
Wild card, this guy."
Exactly. But yeah, AJ versus Samoa Joe. Lovely stuff. It's what we thought we might get at SummerSlam. And I'm very happy we're getting it. This should be a corking match.
And we watched TNA Destination X very recently. We watched it this month for our Wrestle Ramble extra podcast for Patreon people. And Joe was on he was the opener, and AJ Styles was wrestling in the main event. And it took me back to my TNA fanboy days when it was
absolutely.
Joe and Daniels and AJ and Beer Money. And just the idea, like as Joe walked off after he'd choked out AJ in the Kikina clutch, because it wasn't like a big hot go home angle. It wasn't a feud where you need set up for months. It was just... Yep, this guy's facing this guy. We're announcing a big-time title match, and that's it. It's very, very sport-like. And as Joe walked out of the ring, I was just... I sort of stepped outside my own brain, and I was just going, "Man, look at that. Look at that. AJ versus Joe in a WWE ring in 2018.
On one of the big four, no less.
On SummerSlam,
At SummerSlam. This is going to be absolutely awesome. Joe looked really great as well. Like, he looked good last week when he was killing Ty Dillinger. He looked awesome again today when he was killing R-Truth.
Very quick killing of R-Truth. A wrong killing.
A wrong killing, if you will. And then he just looked great just attacking AJ from behind. And, like, it was great because it felt very chaotic because they were throwing James Ellsworth out of the building. And it's not like they then cut back to AJ so you could see him being attacked. They cut back to AJ already being attacked. So it's almost like you as the viewer, it's like blink and you'll miss it.
Mm.
It was awesome. It made it feel very chaotic.
I get that. But if it was me, and I enjoyed the segment, but you know, if I was doing this, I think it's a much better visual to cut back to AJ. AJ's laughing at Ellsworth. But in the background, you get that bit of Germanic irony where the viewer knows Joe's there, but AJ doesn't. I think that would... I always like that kind of visual of,
okay,
I'm standing behind you. Can I get you, AJ?
I certainly see what you're saying. I really liked this chaoticness of the segment.
And you mentioned the R-Truth match. The R-Truth match came almost immediately before this segment. And when that happened, I actually thought, well, the rumours and the reports have been it's going to be Joe versus AJ. But the announcement's coming next. I feel like Joe would be kept off until then if that was
red herring, man.
Really good. That genuinely swerved me away. I mean, I always thought that was where they were going to end up, but it did plant a seed of doubt. It's very unusual to have someone wrestle and then be as the big announcement next.
And not only that, but the opening match between Almas and Rusev was set up because both of them were saying, like, well, if whoever wins out of this is going to be in line for the WWE Championship. So they're almost setting that up there as like possible contenders. And then it turns out to be Samoa Joe. It's just multiple little red herrings there before the Joe attack.
Surprise, surprise. It feels like a lot of thought and effort has gone into how SmackDown will be viewed. Like, not just, like, the segments themselves are good, but the overall segments in the larger arching structure of the show are also very well laid out.
These two bits were very, very good, but unfortunately, they were the only things I liked on this show.
Oh, really?
Okay. I was not high on this show, but this I thought was awesome.
Okay, can I just do another shout out to Ellsworth, because he's rather unceremoniously been dumped now. But you know, his time has come. He's only got a certain shelf life.
We'll talk about that later in the show.
But James Ellsworth comes out and he says, "I've lost to you 3 times, but you know what they say. 4th time's a charm." And AJ just goes, "No, they don't."
Yeah, that's not a saying. I really like that. James, I thought, was really good in here in his final moments, and had a nice little wrinkle to it.
But so the whole cut, because Ellsworth is a comedy character. This was played up for comedy with Paige throwing him out. But then you've got a very serious AJ and Joe. And I read a few reviews online where people didn't like that contrast, where you went from comedy into seriousness. They thought it undermined the Joe AJ angle. I personally loved it. I thought it was nice to almost wrong foot you and drag it out, and like you said, it adds to that chaotic thing. Mm-hmm. You can go from, I mean, that's how dramatic, what's it, comic relief. You have comic relief to make the tension feel all the much more significant.
Ellsworth also had a really great line when talking to Paige, because the reason Paige more or less fired him is because he started insulting her, and he just had awful Jerry the King Lawler levels of jokes where he's like, "Look how pale you are. Are you a ghost?"
Yeah.
To really like.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So SmackDown opened with a limo pulling up backstage, and I just thought, well, Vince McMahon's going to come out and introduce Stephanie as the creator of all women and humanity and everything that's good in the world again. But it wasn't. It was Miz and Maryse and what we thought was Monroe Sky.
See, I didn't go Vince. I didn't think it was going to be Vince and Steph, because Vince was not going to come out to the B show, my friend. I wasn't even expecting it to be the Miz, but I was like a, ooh, who could this be?
Ric Flair. I usually at limos, I think Ric Flair.
But I was really pleased to see it was The Miz as the A-lister. And I was really glad to see Maryse back as well. Mm. And then when they brought him on, well, what we thought was Monroe Sky, I was like, this is good. I'm liking this.
And this, of course, was where they didn't start a countdown clock to Miz and Maurice's.
It wasn't throughout the show. Right, okay, so peeling back the curtain a little bit here. My SmackDown review had a very different running joke throughout it, because I appear to have hallucinated this morning. Whether or not I had a bad meal last night, whether or not I didn't have a good cup of tea this morning, or whether my cereal just wasn't working out for me, but I could have sworn that there was a countdown timer. In the final segment of the show, it was like, Miz and Mrs. will start in, and it was a countdown timer to when it was going to start. I could have sworn it was there, and I had a joke about it in the review. I had to go and re-record some of it because when I was trying to find the screen cap of it, I was like, I cannot find this thing.
It could have happened. It is not like out of the ordinary for a... See, this was on the USA Network. Their next show is this Mr. and Mrs. Premier, Sod Off 205 Live. I wonder how
we'll come to that, yeah.
And the TV networks will overlay their own graphics on... This is what my job used to be. They'll fire Chirons and the graphics will come up. Up next is this show, or up later. And they could have had it was a premiere for a new series. So they very well could have put a countdown clock on there. And the feed you watched could have been that one. But everyone else has watched a different feed.
Absolutely. I've not found it since. So I'm almost willing to say I just hallucinated it. It's in my notes. I wrote it down in my notes, but clearly I imagined it.
Because Luke made a really funny Extreme Rules counter joke.
It was hysterical.
And he had to take it out because he couldn't prove it.
You'll never see it again.
It's weird. We don't usually have to fact check our own reviews. Like the news, we try and find as much information as possible.
Yeah,
totally. But opinions, you'd think that's kind of there for you already.
You'd think that when you take notes on a show, you could just write your review. But nope, apparently not. Apparently I just made stuff up.
Well, but I thought it was funny.
To your point, though, about how many people watch 205 Live, no one watches that show anyway,
that's
so it's fine, mate.
Miz gets out of the limo, he gets a big pop. Maryse gets out of the limo, a pop. And then Monroe, or who we thought was Monroe Sky, is passed to Maryse, but I don't know who else was in the limo.
Didn't Miz go?
Reach him?
Yeah, yeah.
And Monroe Sky got a big pop.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Who we thought was Monroe Sky.
Because they've been building her up. They've been building to this debut.
Yeah. Yeah, they better debut than Sanity.
I was going to say, better debut than Almas.
Yeah, high flyer, Monroe Sky is. Well, it's in the name, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wonder if she's related to Rebby Sky. Is she the godmother?
I was going to say, you can't say the mother, because that's definitely Maryse.
No. Well, I mean, but there was some woke and hardy chucking a baby antics later on.
I suppose there was,
yeah.
There were
some hardy similarities here. Okay, so the first actual segment of the show, which I think we're going to come down on different sides on, if you said you didn't like anything else here, was Randy Orton coming out and explaining his heel turn to everyone. He said last week, as he was beating down Jeff Hardy with that terrific earlobe tearing spot, that I'll reveal why next week. I'll reveal why I'm beating you up so much next week. And the reason was, essentially, you people.
It was the promo that Roman Reigns should really be cutting.
this
really is the Roman Reigns heel turn promo of just like, I bust my ass for each and every one of you, and none of you have ever given me respect. I'm not some indie darling. I didn't come up through NXT. Oh, he technically did, but you can skip over that sort of stuff. I wasn't wrestling in front of 100 people in bingo halls. I'm a star. I'm a former NFL player, blah, 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 blah. I think you played in American football.
No, I've never seen
Roman Reigns.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking Orton.
No, well, my point was, this should have been Roman Reigns' heel turn promo. I thought it relied a little bit heavily on those sort of like buzzwords to rile up the internet, like indie darling, and yet the too sweet thing.
Said he didn't steal a cool hand gesture.
And bingo hall and all that sort of stuff. But I thought this was an excellent promo.
He delivered it well, yeah.
Randy Orton looks like he cares. And when Randy Orton looks like he cares, he's much more entertaining to watch. Because there are times when, you can watch some WrestleManias where Randy Orton is not in a featured match, and he's like, well, he may as well not be there. Like, he is sent out an avatar of himself, just a robot that's gone out there.
It's Luke Skywalker in, minor spoilers, I won't go into that. Yeah, he's just projected himself on the astral plane.
Exactly.
That's what Orton's really good at.
Yeah. He's good at phoning it in.
I think there is a hell of a character here. And I think I'm on the same level as the SmackDown writers and Randy Orton. I don't think it was fully communicated enough. But if they're going this way, I think it's excellent. Because at the end of the promo, he starts to talk about how the fans are the real legend killers. Which was, of course, how Randy made his name. He came up killing Hulk Hogan, but sort of beating up all these old-timer stars.
As the legend killer,
which was a fantastic gimmick.
Great gimmick.
Like, what a way to get someone over as they're starting out. But he turns this on the fans now and says, you're the legend killers because I'm a legend and you don't, cheer me enough. You cheer guys like Jeff Hardy, which doesn't really fit into the narrative. But the indie star guys. And then I thought, then he says, I'm going to destroy every wrestler that you love, starting with Jeff. Which is the kind of thorn in my theory, because Jeff is not a young up-and-comer. But if Randy Orton was to turn the Legend Killer gimmick on its head and effectively be like, well, I'm the legend now,
yep,
and I'm becoming psychotically obsessed with no one coming up to take my spot, and he goes after young up-and-comers, I think that's an incredible character.
I'm in agreement with you, man. I'm 100% in agreement with you. I thought this was really, really great.
Yeah, so just like at the start of his career, he was taking out the legends. At the end of his career, he's taking out the young guys. And then the payoff to that would be to really put over a young guy.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I hope they do that. Like you said, it was a good promo. He looks like he cares again. He's wanted to be a heel forever.
Well, yeah,
it's long overdue.
I think Randy has said in a lot of interviews that he only really enjoys himself when he is a heel. Because I can't remember who said this now, but said that one of the things when you're a heel is you don't have to be in shape.
Yes, this was Randy Orton.
It was Randy Orton.
It was Randy Orton on the Edge and Christian thing, and they talked about a baby face body.
Yes.
Because you have to look good as a baby face.
And you don't have to bother when you're as a heel.
Yeah, look at Gargano with those abs. Yeah. And then look at... Kevin Owens was his example.
Look at Jericho in New Japan.
And Orton pointed out how much he loves cake.
Yeah, he did, yeah. Apparently as well, Jericho did back up your theory that he is purposely putting on weight.
Did he really?
Yeah, he said on a podcast interview.
Yes, I knew it. Yeah, because WWE, it's fascinating to how, you know, one would train for an acting role.
Mm.
You kind of have to have a similar mentality to how you train or eat and your diet as a wrestling
to
persona.
To get into WWE fitness.
Yeah. Well, I thought Samoa Joe... had a few more abs this week.
He is in WWE shape at the moment.
He's in SummerSlam title match shape.
Absolutely.
Next, we got a recap package of the women's pay-per-view announcement.
Yep, I'm sure that won't come. I'm sure that won't come up again later in the show.
Nope. And then we got Andrade Cien Almas versus Rusev. And I was like, well, goddamn, here's a match I never knew I wanted.
I know, right? This was set up earlier in the day between Lana and Rusev and... Almas and Zelina Vega, where they're essentially arguing over who should be the new number one contender to AJ Styles. And they had this little disagreement, and then they were like, you know what? Let's go into the ring and find out who's the better man. Wonderful! A fight to see who is the better wrestler. This lovely stuff.
Yeah,
really
yeah.
like this. And then they had a really good match.
Yeah, and there's a really nice similarity there between Rusev and Lana and Almas and Vega.
Lovely
it's just,
stuff.
Yeah, it all works. As you said, they had a cracking match. Almas and Vega, this is before the ad break, Almas and Vega do the dual Tranquilo pose in the ropes, and then a bit after that, Rusev and Lana do a turnbuckle pose, then an ad break. Really nice setting up the mirror images of the two acts. And Rusev here, excuse me, was a face.
Yeah.
Out-and-out face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is really refreshing to see how they have turned him so organically. There was no huge moment. It was just, I mean, it should have happened months ago, but I thought they've treated this very well. Rusev is in a good place right now.
And the commentators were putting over the fact that Aiden English wasn't out with him, but English did make his appearance because Vega and Lana got into a little scuffle. English ran down to try and stop this fight, and in the melee, accidentally got knocked into Lana, and everyone sort of fell down. This distracted Rusev and allowed Almas to hit the Hammerlock DDT for a win. A big win for Almas, and I thought he looked really, really great here. And this is, again, it's building off that match with AJ Styles last week. Use that as like your starting block, and you're building up from this now. Thumbs up to all this.
Yeah, I thought Rusev was protected,
yep,
and Almas also looked great in the match, and he got the win.
He beat a previous number one contender to the WWE Championship.
And how great was that spot when Almas does the overhand chop on Rusev?
Yes.
And Rusev just looked at him like, you done effed up, boy. And that happened. I was into the match already when that happened. I sort of sat up a bit straighter.
And it's sometimes when Almas does like his spinning back fist, it's so good. He's awesome.
And Almas does the run into the corner for the double knees, but Rusev was up like a shot and hit him with a Machka kick. That was kind of the spot where English then ran down.
Yeah.
This was the first encounter TV match. They did it perfectly in that so much was left in the tank, and it was still a really fun match. I would love to see this develop into a long time rivalry.
Yeah.
But not anytime soon. You know what I mean? Like, I think this is a really good back burner feud.
Yeah, so you don't want to do this as their match at SummerSlam.
I don't want to see it in and out for the next 3 months.
Well,
I don't want to see it five times in the next couple
you're
of
watching
weeks.
The wrong company.
Yeah, I know. And then backstage, Lana and English were arguing.
Yeah, and Rusev walked in and went, shush! And told them that perhaps neither of them are good enough for Rusev Day or good for Rusev Day. And he walked off on his own, leaving Lana and English to be like, wah, wah, oh, what's going to happen next?
So what do you think is going to happen?
I'm an idiot, really, because I just said this is not a it could be a SummerSlam match. It's not, because it's going to be Rusev versus Aiden English on the kickoff show.
Yeah.
That's what I've always stuck with, and I'm sticking with that.
They do seem to be building that way. I always thought the money is in English, Lana, and Rusev as a trio. Like, then you get the best of all of it. But seeing Rusev here with Lana, it's actually like quite a nice, simplified act.
And they have the same T-shirt.
And they got the same T-shirt.
Even though Lana doesn't have the Russian accent anymore, she's still got the Russian flag on her T-shirt.
People live in America, they lose their accents.
Hey, man, like, Rusev was Russian. He just had a Bulgaria tattoo on his arm.
Yeah, but now he's Bulgarian.
Yeah. These things just happen, man.
Yeah. What do you want to see from Rusev Day going forward?
Well, I don't really know, because I really liked them as a three. I don't think we ever really got to see them as a three-person unit.
No.
We just, like, we saw it in one segment, and then that was more or less it. And I would have liked to have seen us get a bit of a run with them. I'd get a bit of a run with those, with Rusev and Aiden English as a tag team. I thought we could have had a nice run with them. And it almost feels like Rusev Day is an act that they've just never really bothered with.
Mm.
And now that... And now it's got to a point where no one really cares about it. So it was like,
oh, I disagree.
Well, the Rusev Day chant is over, but you and I were talking about how, like, this act should have been capitalized on months ago.
Mm.
And I think that point now where it's kind of like cooled off a lot. So I think it's a point where it's like, well, we'll just break them up then. And it's almost breaking them up before you've even done anything with them.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like they were a force to be reckoned with.
Yes.
Well, and they had the potential to be like an upper mid-card semi-main event just winning matches by cheating.
They had a chance to be like, you know, a real store, you know, a real figurehead of the tag team division.
Mm.
They really had an opportunity to be able to.
Or just as like a single star, like intercontinental title or US title level.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but this was all very good. So that's two good things on the show so far. I'm just curious. I wonder which tag match you're going to go against.
It's not really the tag match, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So next up, we had Samoa Joe beating R-Truth. R-Truth and Ty Dillinger were talking backstage beforehand because, of course, Joe choked out Ty last week. And Joe beat Truth in seconds.
Pretty much, yeah. This is Truth's first match since WrestleMania. And,
he was in the Royal, was
it? I believe so, yes. They were putting that over on commentary. And yeah, Samoa Joe won very, very quickly. Good little showcase for Samoa Joe. And it's similar to the Ty match last week, where both of them kind of got a bit of fire, but the moves weren't very effective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, nothing is super effective against Joe.
No, exactly.
That wasn't very effective. That move wasn't very effective. Joe unleashes.
Yeah.
Kikina clutch. You lose all HP.
Backstage, Asuka was staring at the Evolution pay-per-view logo, and then she cut a very excited promo about how she's excited for this pay-per-view. She said she's going to be fighting Billy Kay tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, a bit goofy.
Like, very
goofy. That's not the promo I want from Asuka.
No. And then Iconics also cut a promo about how great Evolution is and how it's going to be really, really cool. But it's really weird as well, because they cut a promo, and this cell phone promo, where they essentially said, like, look how great we are. We beat Asuka, which means we're better than Asuka. And I thought, this is a really solid act. Apart from it's what Carmella's also doing. So it doesn't work. You've essentially just copied what Carmella's been saying for the past couple of weeks and put it onto different characters. Mm. And then Asuka beat up Billy Kay quite easily. I think...
Was it not Peyton Royce?
No, it was Billy Kay, mate.
Okay.
They are very different people.
Just googling what Peyton Royce looks like. Yep, you're right, it was Billy Kay. I was just looking at Peyton Royce.
I know I'm right. Yeah, they are very, very different people.
I just wanted to Google Peyton Royce.
I think that WWE are going to have to try a lot harder to rehab Asuka after Money in the Bank and Extreme Rules.
For 2 days that have been very focused on an all-women's pay-per-view announcement. Not many good women's wrestling matches.
No, we had three, and none of them have really been that good.
Yeah. Then we got a Shinsuke Nakamura promo on his phone.
Great Shinsuke Nakamura promo.
Short and sweet, really good.
Really love that. And like particularly when he said, Jeff, can you ear me? Can you ear what I'm saying?
And then he was like, oh no, you've been bitten by a viper. And nearly did an impression then. I thought, oh, actually. Let's cut that off. Miz and Maryse were backstage getting some photos taken in a pseudo press conference style. Mm-hmm. Ahead of all like red carpet thing for their premiere later. Then we got the Paige and AJ Styles bit.
Just on James Ellsworth. let's put a little bow on the James Ellsworth 2018 stint of, you know, if this really is the end for James Ellsworth. Because surely there could be, you know, more opportunities for him to just come back. Maybe he can sneak into the building. I've even seen some people online joking about that maybe he'll come out as a female wrestler and they'll build that up to a match at Evolution.
Yeah.
Because what better way to do an all-women pay-per-view than and have a male wrestler on it in drag?
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, if you really want to honour WWE's past in the division, you really should.
Exactly.
Santina better come out as well. They can have a really good Rock Hogan stare-off.
Doing the side-to-side, I like that, yeah. But on the James Ellsworth thing, I was really... if this is the end of Ellsworth, I'm really disappointed that this is how they chose to end it. Because Ellsworth was essentially brought back so that they could give Carmella an out in beating Asuka twice.
Yeah.
And then Asuka's got nothing off the back of that.
Mm.
Like, Paige gets to fire him, and security gets to throw him out. Like, Asuka doesn't get any form of revenge on him for costing her the SmackDown Live Women's Championship on two separate occasions. It just seems to makes her look a bit lame, and it just makes the whole thing a complete waste of time, really.
Yeah, at the expense of Asuka as well.
It's like reading a book that destroys all of its characters and then doesn't have a final chapter.
Yeah, it's no good, that stuff. That would have been a better use of Ellsworth.
I thought it was really, really bad, really.
Sticking with Carmella, though, she turned up at the end of, like, Paige was flustered and she said to Joe, hey, stop being so unpredictable, although, you know, unpredictability is awesome.
Yeah.
And then Carmella turns up. I think she missed her cue because Paige was like, had the bit, now look flustered for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Which was just her going, oh no. Oh, I'm going to put my hand on my forehead, put it down again. Where is Carmella? Oh dear, just a few more seconds. Okay, Carmella's here now.
What a day I've had.
Yeah, camera's still on me, damn it. And then Carmella walks in and she's like, well, I'm annoyed you've got rid of Ellsworth. She wasn't that annoying.
I was going to say, she moved past it very, very quickly.
But that fits her character.
Yep.
She was only ever using Ellsworth.
And then said that she's going to be the champion up until the Evolution, and God, I hope not. Yeah.
And I'm going to beat Becky Lynch now. And that turned into Becky Lynch versus Carmella. This was a non-title match, but in that awful stipulation, if Becky could beat the champion, she would get to fight for the title at SummerSlam. And Becky won in about 5 minutes.
With a fluky disarmer out of nowhere when Carmella dominated the majority of the match.
Oh, I don't know. I think it wasn't 50-50, but it wasn't dominating either way. And Carmella tried to cheat early on, putting her legs on the ropes for a roll-up. And I wouldn't call it a fluky disarmer. I thought it was a roll-through to get her into the disarmer.
But she was being dominated the entire time, and it was almost like she just managed to lock one in. Like, Becky didn't have a comeback. She didn't get to, like, show any fire. She just... I felt that Carmella basically took the entire match. And then I was just like, well, brilliant, because the Carmella character, again, makes no sense. Because... is she crap or is she good? They cannot make their mind up. She could only be Asuka because of James Ellsworth's interference. They kept saying, like, she is not on Asuka's level. She cannot beat her because she is a joke champion. And then here she is just dominating Becky Lynch. I'm like, cool, so Becky now looks like a complete chump. And Carmella is crap or she's good? We don't know. So how you could possibly care about this match at SummerSlam? I thought this was an absolute disaster of a segment.
I mean... I don't like it because, you know, beat the champion to get a championship match, and it's not a 5-star classic. But I mean, Becky Lynch is going for the title. That's a positive.
But Becky Lynch has been, like, the build-up to Becky Lynch is that look how awesome she is. She's been going through the SmackDown Women's Division. She's beaten Charlotte Flair. She's beaten Iconic. She's beaten Absolution. She's beaten all these people, and she's done it in a dominating fashion with a disarmer. And here she goes with Carmella, who is crap, we think. I don't know if they know, but I think she's crap. And then she's like, oh no, she barely eked out a victory over here to qualify for this match. None of it made sense.
I don't think so. You see, that's where we're conflicting. I don't think she barely squeezed out a victory. Carmella was trying to cheat from the get-go. It was only a 5-minute match. It wasn't like a dominating
I don't know,
thing.
Man. I don't think Becky did not look good coming out of this.
But yeah,
for me.
But I'm not saying that this is a good segment. It was still a crap segment. Then we got the Bludgeon Brothers promo. It doesn't matter who wins the SmackDown Tag Tournament, because we're going to bludgeon them anyway.
There'll be a bludgeoning.
Oh, bludgeon this, bludgeon. Ooh. And do you want to take the next bit away?
New Day beat Sanity.
With some pizzazz.
Well, no, because like it's gone to the point now where who could possibly care?
Yeah.
Like, someone pointed out to me today on Twitter that Sanity as a team have not had a win on TV. They won their pay-per-view match. And Eric Young won last week, but as a unit, they have yet to actually win. They're just like they're awful, I guess. They're just crap, and no one should care about them. And at the end of this, the Bar made their return to TV. The Usos were doing commentary, and New Day and Usos got into the ring, and the Bar came out, and they were like, "We're gonna win, fella, because we always said the Bar, we are the Bar." And Sanity were nowhere to be seen. They just absolutely disappeared into the ether because don't care about them. They're useless and they're not worthy of being on the SmackDown roster. A waste of time. What was the point of bringing them up?
Yeah, a waste of time, a waste of talent as
absolutely.
Well, unfortunately.
As a group you really could have done something with. And it's just like, we're now a few months into this experiment and it's just been a complete disaster.
So maybe they'll reboot them somewhat if Nikki Cross comes up.
But imagine, at this point where we're like, God, this team needs a reboot.
Yeah, yeah. It's
they've been on TV for 4 weeks.
It was Alexander Wolfe and Killian Dane as the combo, which I thought was quite interesting. No Eric Young in there. So maybe they're trying to protect it. I don't even know.
I don't know.
And it was Woods and Big E. And yeah, Woods was worked over for a bit. And then New Day did a really good comeback. It was over in 5 minutes.
Well, that's the other side of this. The SmackDown show, and the reason I wasn't that keen on it is, aside from the Almas match, there was very little wrestling, like good wrestling on the show. Like, it was just all 5-minute matches that really meant nothing. The Samoa Joe match aside, nothing really felt like it meant anything on the show. And this one is a tag title tournament that's just, it's over in 4 minutes. Like, well, what was the point?
Yeah, and you look at SmackDown's tag division.
So
Bludgeon Brothers as the champions. You've got the Usos, the New Day, the Bar, Sanity.
Gallows and Anderson.
That is 6 teams there. That is a hella depth. You can have a title feud and a secondary blood feud / number one contenders feud going at the same time, and they really should do. Why not drop something else on this show to make room for a larger match and a bit more fleshing out of the division?
Because clearly, Vince McMahon is in a period of his life where he doesn't care about tag team wrestling and just thinks that tag team wrestling is rubbish. And you can always see this within the show, because oftentimes they'll be like, tag team wrestling is really important, we're going to push it. Because Vince has decided, let's start pushing some tag teams, let's like have a tag team feud. And then after a while, he's like, because he's never liked tag teams, by all accounts. That's one of his least favourite forms of wrestling. So now he's just like, nah, I don't like tag teams again. So don't give them anything.
Yeah, because you look last year, and from July through to December, really, SmackDown's big saving grace, while Jinder was champion, was the New Day and the Usos.
Yeah.
And that was when tag team wrestling was a thing back in WWE. But yeah, you look at it now with all the talent they've got, it's really being wasted.
Really
over
bad.
On Raw as well.
Yeah,
but they haven't got the same depth.
Absolutely. And it's you know, Sanity thing, it's like the Roman Reigns going into SummerSlam. There's no point getting angry about it, because what's the point? It's just, it's deflating and really disappointing.
But the Bar returned.
The Bar returned.
I mean, it looks like it's going to be the Bar versus the New Day, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you could make a Usos New Day final. To play off the SummerSlam stuff last year, but I don't think they'll do that the way they presented the Bar here.
And I just, like, again, and maybe this will make me sound far more cynical than I want it to be. Haven't we already sort of done this? Haven't we already done, like, the Bar versus New Day? Didn't we do this a lot, like, when New Day and the Bar were on Raw? Like, haven't we done this a lot already? And
oh, it's been a while, though. It's been like 18 months since that happened.
And haven't we done a lot of the Usos versus the New Day? And haven't we already done the New Day and the Usos versus the Bludgeon Brothers? Like, when you had Sanity there, I was like, oh, this is new and different. as we said about the Bobby Lashley Roman Reigns thing, it's like you had all these options to do something different and you've just gone with the same old, same old.
Just gone into that groove you've already carved.
Yeah.
But the main event was what the countdown timer was counting down to for the whole show.
It was there.
That hallucinating oasis. It's like of that
Sinbad Kazam.
We're not getting into that. It was Miz and Mrs. Is the name of the show, which is the Miz and Maurice's reality show, or apparently it's more like a sitcom. And there's a cute skit backstage where Paige was meant to get a babysitter, and it's just Sin Cara who walks out.
Yeah, he's holding nappies.
Yeah, I thought that was really funny. And Miz is like, what kind of babysitter wears a mask? And it was good. So Miz, that sets up Miz taking the baby out to the wrestling ring himself in the sort of, what do you call those things? Like a backpack.
Yeah, like a carrier, yeah. Sort of thing. My first note is, I'm pretty sure that isn't a real baby.
Yeah. It's like Roman Reigns' armor, but with enough space.
Yeah.
If Roman Reigns was a kangaroo, that's where he'd put his child, in this sort of armored vest.
Hey, they haven't tried that to get him over yet.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do. Get onto the furries.
Lovely. He's the big dog.
Exactly.
It's kind of a kinky name already. And yeah, I reckon it's a dummy baby.
Yeah.
Because like, why would you bring a baby out?
Well, I did
that
think,
could cry in front of a live crowd for a promo.
I thought they were going to have these big headphones on the baby, and then we didn't have the headphones. I was like, yeah, it's not a real baby. Yeah. Then this is almost like American Sniper levels of that's not a real baby.
But then I was kind of like, well, what are they going to do with the baby? They're not going to like body slam the Miz onto the baby, are they? While people think it's a real baby. Or play it up as a real baby, and that's your big hot go-home angle. Daniel Bryan killed a child.
Vegan Daniel Bryan. But no, instead, Miz tried to show clips from Miz and Mrs., but instead it had been re-edited by Daniel Bryan to show all the losery things that Miz has done over the years. And then it cuts back to Daniel Bryan. He was like, all right, re-edited that. Or he said, I don't know how that footage got re-edited, but oh, well, it did. And I should apologize to you, but I'm going to apologize to you face to face. And this did lead to perhaps my favorite thing on the show, which was when Bryan beat up the security guards, walked up to the red velvet rope, unhooked it, walked through and put the hook back on. That really made me laugh.
That's Captain America levels of babyface.
Oh, it was wonderful.
I'm gonna do what needs to be done, but I'm gonna respect the rules here.
This is a red rope. Red ropes mean something.
Yeah. Would anyone like to get off this elevator before I kick everyone's ass?
Yeah.
That's the kind of guy Daniel Bryan is. Back to this trailer. I just thought it was a normal trailer for the show.
I did as well. At one point, I was like, oh, wow, they're going to recap Miz's career about how he got started. That's interesting.
Like, I never found this really offensive at any point. I thought, man, if this is your way to really get to the Miz Daniel Bryan, you're just too nice.
Yeah.
You got to stop pulling those verbal punches. This was fine, but I thought there was a lot more they could draw on to be this far out for an actual match between the two.
Well, the other side of it as well is that this was the main event of the show. The main event of SmackDown this week was an advert for Miz and Mrs.
It makes sense scheduling-wise, though, because it is the next program.
Right, cool, I get that. But like, this never felt like this is building towards the Daniel Bryan-Miz match at SummerSlam. This felt like we are just doing this to promote the show that's coming up later. And
it needed a hotter angle.
Yeah, so like nothing what happened here is really matters. All that matters is that you tune into the show that comes on after this, not 205 Live on the WWE Network, which you have to pay us to watch. Watch this on TV for free instead. And I said this in my reviews, the WWE cannot promote 205 Live to save their lives, but they dedicate an entire segment to Miz and Mrs.
And little bits throughout the show.
And exactly.
That countdown timer.
Like, and the countdown timer and everything. Like, this whole show was built around promoting a show that was happening afterwards. Nothing on the show mattered other than you watch the show that happens afterwards.
Which I imagine is going to portray Miz as quite a likable human being.
As a baby face. Yeah, exactly.
It's a peculiar one. Bryan gets into the ring. Miz throws the baby to Bryan. Of course, Bryan's like, oh my God. So kind of, that's the echo of the old, what was it called? it wasn't ultimate deletion. It was the first one, the final deletion, which when Rebby Sky chucks the baby to Jeff,
ironically,
and Jeff's like, "What's wrong with you?" And Miz uses that to attack Brian and hit the skull crushing finale. He reveals that that was a dummy, and even the baby backstage was an actor.
It's a ruse.
Would never bring my baby to your hometown.
Yeah.
I thought that was a nice heel bit.
It was,
but yeah, it wasn't a good finish for the show.
Yeah, make sure you watch Miz and Mrs. That was essentially the message of this show.
So you gave it
Ellsworthy.
So a 2 out of 5.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 3 out of 5.
And I certainly don't think you're wrong in doing that. I think that the sanity stuff and the Becky Lynch stuff in particular left a real sour note in my mouth. Particularly because it was the second half of this show. It was one segment after another. And I was like, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
But I thought the Alma stuff was good. And I thought Joe attacking AJ was good.
Orton's heel promo.
Yep. I did get a tweet from someone today saying, like, pretty sure he's a tweener.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just Randy Orton just doing Randy Orton,
doing Randy Orton things.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah. So I thought the show was poor, mostly. But that's, again, it's how you leave them, folks. And it left me not feeling great about the show. But the first half was pretty good. Michael. Ooh, hello. Gendrau. Maybe.
Go with that.
G-E-N-D-R-E-A-U.
Yeah, Gendrew.
Maybe? Yeah. Have you ever been in the ring with a hardcore legend? Hi, Luke and Ollie. My name is... Oh, there you go. Michael Roberts, and I've a story here for you. One day, my friend Bobby and I bought tickets to an indie wrestling show near us because Rey Mysterio was on the card. It's the same show he injured his bicep on.
Okay, March this year.
Yes. We saw that they had meet and greets for the Young Bucks along with the hardcore legend himself, Mick Foley. So my friend and I bought photo ops to meet him. Before the show, we were waiting in line and noticed there were a ton of Bullet Club shirts, but no Foley shirt. Just Bobby and I were wearing Foley shirts. So when we finally got up to meet him, he asked my friend Bobby to follow him. So Mick takes him over to the Young Bucks and he says, "See, I'm still over." He was the nicest guy and happy to see us wearing his shirt. Later on that night, Josh Briggs was having a match with a 2-on-1 disadvantage because of some dastardly heel tactics. So during that match, Mick Foley came out with Socko and even the score. After the match, Mick then cut a promo about how many Bullet Club t-shirts were there and how little Foley shirts there were. When he mentioned his shirts, Bobby and I stood up and started cheering. Mick then pointed to us and said, "There they are! Get in here!" My friend Bobby and I looked at each other in excitement and he told us to climb over the barricade and get in the ring. So we did, and he went on to say how fans like us are the reason he's still over. He also looked into the camera and told his wife that he is still over. When we walked to the back with him, we had another nice conversation. It's truly the best time I've ever met a wrestler. P.S. Photo included, feel free to show it off. Also, Mick was in pajamas because he left his actual clothes at home, so he wore those clothes for the next couple of days.
That's not an excuse.
And that is a photo of Mick with our friends there.
Wow.
And he is in his pajamas. They look like to be Disney pajamas as well.
Yeah.
But he has got a nice green check vest
shirt.
On. Yes. So a guy there.
That's peculiar.
Yeah, and the guy there is wearing like the classic Cactus Jack t-shirt as well with the Wanted poster. A t-shirt that I really, really do like. So thank you very much, Michael. That was an excellent, excellent Rusev hey.
That's a great story. Ah, what a nice guy Mick Foley is.
Yeah.
Because my one I've had two encounters with him. One, it was just a normal sign-in, and that was just normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had a long line of people. He was seemingly very tired for a stand-up show he was doing. And the other time, I walk into where I used to work, which had lots of radio stations beneath me. And, you know, there'd be all the big people in there. I'd walk in and I'd see Professor Green. Wouldn't care. Go to the side, Professor Green. I'll walk in and there'll be The Wanted. And I'd be like, the Little Mix once asked me if they could use the loo.
Which one?
All of them.
All of them?
All of them.
In unison?
In unison, yeah. They all said it. They sung it and danced it. No, one of them asked, and they were all there, and I said it's through there. Rick Edwards would comment on my lovely jumpers.
Once again, which one of Little Mix?
Oh, I can't remember. This was before they were big. Like, they had won X Factor, and then they disappeared for a year, and it was within that disappeared year that they...
And then they came back awesome.
Yeah. And they are tiny. And they were wearing heels. I think Zelina Vega's got a good foot on all of them combined. Like, if they're on top of each other's shoulders, Vega's taller.
Like Muppet Man.
Yeah. But one day I walk in And I walk past, the, walk, go over to the lift, and then double take. What? Like the goat, the Aquaman trailer. Let's end the trailer on that one. That's strong enough to leave people with that impression. And there's Mick Foley just sitting like a regular guy on the like the couch. No one ever sat there. And I went, I just like looked back at the lift and thought, is it? And I looked back, it was. And I walked over to him gingerly and I said, I'm such a big fan, sir. May I shake your hand?
Oh.
And he went, of course. And he shook my hand and I went, have a nice day. And I was walked up, and I, but he was doing an interview for Kiss Radio, apparently. For
I mean, that's the peak Mick Foley audience, really, isn't
yeah,
it?
On Kiss FM, R&B, 18 to 24 demographic.
They love R&B and Mick Foley.
Yeah,
like that's
Usher and Mick Foley. Yeah,
Little Kim.
Yeah,
Mick Foley.
Kim. God, like, we're dating ourselves. They like that music that all sounds the same.
Yeah,
that's the thing they like.
That's
that
exactly
audience.
It. Got a quick email here from Stephen Zucic, who has been in touch with us several times,
yes,
really,
he has.
Over the last couple of weeks or so. But this actually comes back from the last email he sent when you said he looks like Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
So, around a few weeks ago, when you read out my email, you saw my pick and got a Zack Ryder comparison. I've never had that before. I've been to a few shows in the last 2 years, being that's around the time I got back into wrestling. So, it's essentially never happened before. We went out to dinner before Extreme Rules in the arena. I was holding the door open for some old woman to head into the restaurant. As they walked through, one turns around to the other and said, "He looks like Zack Ryder."
Hey.
I laugh and with my friend. He's the guy that always tries to tell me I look like the wrestler with the same initials as me. SZ. I'm not sure.
Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn. Nice, I like that. Later in the show, on the other side of him, the guy that was next to him goes, "Woo, woo, woo." I just thought it was funny that I get a few times in the past month and never get in that comparison, especially since Ryder isn't on TV anymore. Sorry for the nothing email. If you have content to fill, you have content to fill, if nothing else.
We always do.
Yeah.
So there's two possible explanations for this. The one that the more idiotic mm-hmm. of people would say is that I have put that out into the universe and now the universe is acting towards you. And that we're all actually part of the same psychic energy and we share one hive mind of unconscious. Or it's something called your reticular activating device in your brain, which when you hear something, you start to notice it more. And maybe people have always been saying Zack Ryder under their breath, but you've never picked up on it. It's like when you learn a word and then all of a sudden everyone's using that word. And you're like, man, I'm really tapped into everyone right now. When really, they've always been using that word.
I'm going to pose a different theory.
Uh-huh.
Everyone that you encountered is a pledgehammer or a member of the SWAF Nation, and they obviously recognised you from the email and thought that they would make a comment.
Option C, yeah. Recognised you from this audio medium.
That's exactly it, yes. Edward Cohen, hi. So you called Ed the Postie. Hi, Luke and Ollie. Love the Rusev Hayes and thought I would give you my experience encountering a wrestler. Earlier this year, Raw came to Bournemouth. It was great, and you should too.
Lashtown.
I didn't have a ticket, as I had no one to go with, but I was keen to walk around town on the off chance I may meet a wrestler. I began walking around the promenade at Bournemouth Beach, a stone's throw from the arena they were at. I saw lots of wrestling fans, but no wrestlers. Then, as I walked up to the cliff top behind the Marriott Hotel, I heard people getting very excited. Little did I realise, but I was walking about 15 yards behind Sasha Banks and Titus O'Neil.
Wow.
He is huge, by the way. People were very excited, and the rush of adrenaline washed over me as I considered jogging to say hello, but then I saw Sasha and Titus turning away fans, which disappointed me. I then walked away from the hotel, seeing a lot of wrestling fans and getting a buzz, but no actual wrestlers. I began to give up as I did circles of the arena. I then strolled through the gardens, thinking my chance had passed me by, until I saw three teenagers getting very excited and taking photos. I was a bit confused as I saw a man walk away from the teenagers, dressed in a black cap, sunglasses, a black hoodie, and black tracksuit bottoms on a very warm day.
Can I guess?
Yes.
Uso. An Uso.
Incorrect.
Ah.
It only then dawned... It's a Raw show.
Ah, okay.
You idiot.
Is it Reigns?
Yes, it was Roman Reigns in his tracky bottoms.
Wear tracksuit bottoms.
It's not Roman Reigns. It only then dawned on me as the man strode towards me, it must be a wrestler. But who? I clammed up and caught his attention. I said, "Sammy?" and he looked at me, and I offered a handshake and confessed how big a fan I was. He was lovely. He spoke for a good 2 minutes about what he had done that day, how his flight was, this was his first show on the European tour, and how he was excited for the show. He asked if I was coming, to which I said I wasn't due to having no one to go with, and he encouraged me to attend regardless, stating that it wasn't sold out. Don't say that sort of thing. And he would appreciate, but he would appreciate if it was. Bournemouth is not a hotbed for wrestling. He offered to save me a ticket and took my name to write on the reserve list for the arena. I thanked him and I shook his hand for a second time, and he thanked me for being a fan. I didn't take photos, so I guess this is my equivalent. And that was my experience. Sami Zayn is legitimately lovely, and how WWE can book him as a heel offends me. Thank you for really keep up the great consistent content that gets me through my days working as a postman. Cheers, Ed the Postie.
Nice.
Great email.
So what tour was that?
The European tour. That'd be the one
last
that,
year.
No, it'd be earlier this year, because he went over to Raw after WrestleMania, didn't he?
Okay. Yeah. I was just thinking, because if it was last October or last November time, that was the tour that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn were sent home from.
Yes, it was. But they were SmackDown then.
Oh, because it was a Raw tour. Yeah. I don't know how many times you have to say it's a Raw tour. Do you want to quickly hear my only experience ever in Bournemouth?
I do want to hear. I would love nothing more.
Went to a house party there of a friend when I was a student. And he worked in social care. That was sort of his degree. And everyone there was also social care workers. All loved the drink. We were all having a fun old time partying. And then this guy comes along who's on their course, but he's an older guy. He's like 35, 40. And he is sober. He's been sober for many years. And he's come back, and to like sort of pay it back, he's working in social care. So he can become a social worker. Throughout the course of the night, he has his first beer in like a decade. And not kidding, we are woken up at 5 a.m. by his wife, like running through the house being like, "Where is he? What have you done?" Turns out he took heroin. He took heroin.
What?
And ended up in like a whorehouse, and then he was arrested. It's like, you fell hard.
Crikey.
I know.
That escalated fast. That was literally like that Anchorman joke. That escalated quickly.
I don't remember any of that sort of thing. It was, hopefully he got that elsewhere, but big times.
I was going to quickly read out an email from James Huntley, who I think is an excellent fan. Actually, I want to give a shout out to James Huntley. I think that James is almost on the same level as Real Dan's Dan in
He doesn't put himself out there as much.
Maybe it's not. I mean, he gets in touch with a lot on social media, and I really enjoy his emails that he sends through as well. And he sent me through an email about his D&D character, and he's recently upped his Patreon contributions and things like that. But
now he's a good fan.
But I wanted to quickly instead end off this podcast. I went to go see Skyscraper last night.
Hot damn. I forgot you did that.
So, wrestling related, it's got The Rock in it. Also, video game movie related, because not only does it star The Rock, the star of 2005's Doom, it also stars Byron Mann, the star of 1994's Street Fighter, where he played Ryu. It's a video game crossover movie.
Who is
Byron Mann? He's like the police lieutenant.
The one that's in the little truck thing.
Yeah.
He's cool. He's good in it.
He is.
What did you make of the movie?
Loved it, mate.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. It is awesome from start to end. Not a single flaw to be found in that movie, aside from my one question I had. In the kayfabe world of this movie, what was the Hall of Mirrors for?
Yeah. Well, it's for the end fight sequence.
No, I get that. But in the kayfabe world of the movie, what is it there for? Because The Rock, like, the lad is showing him this big sort of Hall of Mirrors thing, and The Rock's walking around going like, this is incredible. And I'm like, is it though, Rock? What is it? What is it doing?
So don't worry, this isn't a spoiler, folks. This is like the first 5 minutes of the movie when Rock is toured around this giant, well, like 200
tallest building in the world.
Yeah. And at the top, the designer has, or the, like, the owner wants this to be the new attraction, like the top of the Eiffel Tower.
He calls it the eighth wonder of the world.
Yeah. But you're like, well, it's already high up enough. You don't need any more gimmicks. So what's he done? He's created a thing that shuts off all the view, and he's put cameras everywhere outside, and it sort of does a... It makes everything look like you're outside and you're just floating.
Floating in it, it's like you're actually walking through heaven. That I get. That is fine. But he's also, before that, he shows like these little mirrors that just sort of come up out of the ground. And as you walk through, you're at like different sizes and it looks like you're in different places. And I was like, yeah, I don't see what the point of this all is.
Yeah, yeah, it's totally... I like the idea of fighting in heaven because that really fits with the entire theme of the movie. And it's quite visually spectacular. But don't have the mirrors.
It was about my
own. Purely for that little twist at the end.
Isn't it just? Absolutely. It's all it's there for. And I did pop for it.
Yeah, yeah. I got fooled by it as well. I can say it now. I don't think it's not a spoiler, but I'm like, there's no one's falling off the skyscraper. Like, I want a few more bad guys to just plummet to their death that aren't any.
You want like a Die Hard moment. Yeah, with Alan Rickman.
And then at the end, I was like, come on, this guy's got to go. This guy's got to be falling. And he gets pushed off. And I'm like, yes, okay, I'm going to get the C1. But as he gets pushed off, the hand grenade that he'd already armed falls up. And it follows him down. And it blows him up in the air. And I was like... You know what? That's better. That's. You know, I thought I wanted to see someone like hit the ground, but actually, I wanted to see someone explode in midair while falling. Ridiculous.
I loved it so much. I had so much fun with it. I walked out and I said, turned to my wife, I said, "What did you think?" And she was like, 5-star movie. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's not. It's forgettable.
Forget
it right away.
Absolutely not. I will disagree with that. I'm someone who does not do well with heights. I'm terrified of heights, in fact. And there were so many moments during that movie where my stomach churned, stomach flipped, and I was like grabbing my wife, being like, "Oh my god, oh dear, he's too high. He is far too high up. I don't like this at all." And there's like a couple of moments where he's like, "Oh," like does a little fake out slip, and I was like, "Oh mate, I'm gonna be sick if I keep watching this." I loved it. Absolutely awesome. You looked at your watch then?
Yeah, because we've got to go to that World of Sport thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
WOS.
We do have to get out of here, but thank you so much for listening. We'll be back on Saturday. James, I will read your email out then because I love Dungeons & Dragons correspondence. And if you are interested in learning a bit more about D&D, Xavier Woods has just posted up a video of him and Ember Moon, an NXT guy who I don't know, and Tyler Breeze playing through the 5e strike... sort of training session, really. It's the one that they give you in the starter's guide, and it's wicked. It's really fun watching them play it. They're not very good at it, like, but you know, it's fun watching them play nonetheless. So we'll read that out on Saturday, and we'll see you then for the magazine show. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.